Don't call. We aren't going to answer. Just kidding. Your calls are always encouraged at 412-928-9370. But don't call the Steelers if you have a question about their head coach. No, sir. Don't even think about it. I guess Mike Tomlin wasn't joking when he said, save your time. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, the Fan, in for the guys on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And I might not be the only Donald J. that you know spewing some nonsense today for a few hours. Calm down, it's a joke. Gorgeous Charlie Borges is behind the glass. We have you covered until 6 o'clock. We're going to get into all of the games that you watched this weekend. Even if you didn't watch them, I'd say you missed out a little bit, especially yesterday. Thought those games were very, very good. They outdid the games on Saturday by a hair. Had a nice upset in the NFL on Saturday night. Also a funny blunder from Pirates Fest, and some of the news and notes out of that will be covered when Noah Hiles joins us a little bit before 4 o'clock. Charlie and I will get some hockey talk in as well in a little bit. Pretty interesting report that got thrown out there about the Penguins that we will jump into. But another report that surfaced on Saturday morning that the Chicago Bears called the Pittsburgh Steelers regarding a potential Mike Tomlin trade. I'm not even sure if the Steelers ever even answered the phone. Which, considering what happened the last time they did business with the Bears, I don't see why not. We know that Mike Tomlin has a no-trade clause, because another team besides the Bears also checked in on his availability and were informed as such. But based on the report from Adam Schefter, the talks, quote, never made it to Tomlin, which tells me Mike didn't make any sort of decision. Now, I'm sure it's unlikely that he agrees to any trade regardless, but that's not the point here. The point is that the Steelers didn't even entertain the call or the offer from the Chicago Bears, who absolutely would have overpaid, let's be honest. I mean, they gave the Steelers a second-round pick, which ended up being 32nd overall for Chase Claypool a few seasons ago. I credit Ryan Poles for not living in his fears, but I would think that he has the 412 area code on a do not answer, do not call list. I'm also interested to see, and I'm sure I'm not alone on this, and you can chime in at 412-928-9370. I am interested to just know what teams are willing to offer. I hope that gets leaked at some point by Schefter or Rap Sheet, whoever. Because we hear all the time, we hear time and time again, that he would have a job in 5 seconds. Or the better one, which I know that our pal Mike Florio loves to throw out there, and Mike will join the guys, as always, Wednesday at 3:30. He loves bringing up that other teams would actually fire their head coaches if it meant a chance to hire Mike Tomlin. He has said that before on these airwaves. So the trade compensation should be record-setting. No? Maybe a couple of first-round picks in that deal. If he is so powerful in the eyes of other organizations, you would have to think the Steelers would get offered an absolute haul for Mike Tomlin. And I understand his side of it. If that was the reason why these conversations never escalated, because of that no trade clause. But for the organization to not entertain the call is just malpractice on their part. And on this station, we know a thing or two about malpractice. Top dog get you top dollar. Is Art Rooney afraid to offend Mike Tomlin? Probably. But you have to listen to their offer. That's just smart football business. You have to listen what another team has to say if you are in the position the Steelers are in. It would be different if the success was where it was at 10 to 15 years ago. Regular playoff appearances, regular playoff wins, Super Bowls, Super Bowl appearances, AFC Championship game appearances. If it was even at that point, then I'd understand. You know, don't even answer the phone. There's no point. But it is not there. We are in a time and place where the Steelers should be absolutely open to avenues like that. The Bears, along with the unknown team in the equation that Adam Schefter has mentioned, gave the Steelers a potential out. What could have been a fresh start and a kickstart to a rebuild with draft capital. I don't know what it would have been. I'm just going off what the consensus seems to be about Mike Tomlin in the National Football League. That he would have a job in 5 seconds, that other teams would fire their head coaches if it meant a chance to talk to him. I mean, he gets talked about sometimes like he's a god. And I get that Art Rooney treats him that way. So it's hard for him to not feel comfortable in his position. But it is just smart football business to answer that call and see what they have to say. It sounds like it got didn't even get off the ground. But like I've said, and others have said for a while now, it all comes down to Mike Tomlin. He will be the Steelers head coach until he no longer wants to be the Steelers head coach. 412-928-9370. That is the number to get in on the conversation. I want to talk to you coming up next. Maybe you're going through a regular work day. Maybe you didn't have today off. Maybe you are still listening to us. Whatever it is, I appreciate it. I want to talk to you coming up next. The report that came out Saturday that the Bears contacted the Steelers about Mike Tomlin, and it sounds like it barely got anywhere. It really didn't get anywhere. 412-928-9370 to get in on the conversation. You can also hit us up at that same number on the fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up, We take your calls. We will also dive into what happened over the weekend before a little bit of hockey talk at the end of the hour. But we're talking the Steelers and we're talking Mike Tomlin right now. 412-928-9370. Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7. The Fan. You felt bad about messing that up, huh?
We only work together at night. And it's normally the beds that are already in there.
I'll be honest, I didn't even think anything of it when I didn't hear Cliffs of Dover.
I apologize to Pony and Chris. I hope they can forgive me in this.
Is this on?
Time.
Is this on Guitar Hero of any, like Guitar Hero 1, 2, or 3?
I think it's on the second one.
It's got to be on one of them.
It's 100% on one of them.
Eric Johnson, man, he was cooking with this one. Cooking with gas. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7. The Fan in for the guys today. Charlie Borges is behind the glass. Going to jump around to a few different things today. We'll get some hockey chatter in here in a little bit. That'll get Charlie going. Also, quite an interesting report put out there about the Penguins from earlier. A report of Russell Wilson maybe being in line for a $100 million contract and how we feel about that. Little recap of Pirates Fest with Noah Hyles in about 90 minutes. But right now, taking your calls on the Steelers and the report about the Bears contacting them regarding Mike Tomlin's availability. Now, I get it. And I said it at the end, Mike Tomlin will be the Steelers head coach until he no longer wants to be the Steelers head coach. It's virtually a lifetime contract with the team. And he has a no trade clause. I'm not bashing him on this topic. I am taking the organization into question as to why not even entertain phone calls about it. Just do your due diligence. Even if you're going to say no, at least have something in the back of your mind is what I am getting at. 412-928-9370. Eric is in Carrick. Now he's on the Fan. What's up, Eric?
Good afternoon. I watched the weekend games as I always do through the prism of a Steeler fan, and I think two things seemed really painfully obvious. One, those teams this weekend always went for it, or often, on fourth down. When it was fourth and three, fourth and four, they went for it, they made it, and it just reminded me painfully that of the difference between saying you don't live in your fears and actually walking the walk. We punt on fourth and an inch. Those guys go for it, they make it. It's one reason why I think they went a lot farther. And the second thing is, I'm sure that it was obvious that the biggest predictor of who wins the game is who has the better quarterback. I thought Detroit had a better team, but Washington had the better quarterback. I think Baltimore had the better team, but at least yesterday, Buffalo had the better quarterback. And then I look at us and I say, no matter what we do, we're only going to have the third best quarterback in our division until Lamar and Burrow retire. And so our postseason outlook is not very encouraging. Sorry to say it, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, Eric, I appreciate the call. I mean, both of those things are true. You watch those games over the weekend and you see how aggressive the offenses are. They go for it in tricky spots. It's not always recommended to go for it, but now you see, assuming you're watching a lot of these games on television. I mean, you could also be listening to them. We carry the NFL playoffs courtesy of Westwood One. But you'll see a graphic pop up if it's fourth and two, fourth and three, whatever it may be. And it'll give like the recommendation, go for it, punt, whatever. Throwing that to the side, so many of these teams are aggressive It's almost like you're playing a pal in Madden as a kid. And you're watching football growing up and thinking, oh, it's fourth and one, field goal range, kick the football. We don't see that a ton anymore. You see that from teams that have an old school mindset, which is why you see that from the Steelers. Because they know, well, our kicker is pretty much a guaranteed 3 points. Credit to him. I mean, the guy's an all-pro. I think he's the best in football for what it's worth. But they count on that too often. Hey, let's just get into field goal range. If it's fourth and short, we'll kick it. We see that happen far too often with our own favorite team. So we're watching these big playoff games, and we are seeing teams go for it. No matter who they have at quarterback, it could be a second-year guy like C.J. Stroud. It could be a rookie like Jaden Daniels. It could be a guy who's won 3 Super Bowls already, Patrick Mahomes. Every team that is in the playoffs has been aggressive on fourth down. There are patterns that you notice with the teams that were playing this weekend and the teams that are still alive. Very aggressive offensively, and the quarterback play is mostly just out of this world. Which is why the point that Mike Tomlin made last week when he was asked about draft positioning and getting a franchise quarterback. See, he very quickly cherry-picked the 2 examples of guys who weren't selected at the top end of the first round. He proudly said, well, Lamar Jackson was the 32nd overall pick and Jalen Hurts was a second rounder. A good follow-up there would have been, Mike, who'd you take instead of those guys? Terrell Edmonds and Chase Claypool. But every other quarterback that played this weekend selected in the top end of the first round. Charlie, I assume you knew that. I mean, even the guy who quarterbacks your favorite team, I know they were knocked out last week, but Baker Mayfield, a 1st overall pick. C.J. Stroud, 2nd overall. Jaden Daniels, 2nd overall. Patrick Mahomes, 10th overall. Jared Goff, 1st overall. Matt Stafford, 1st overall. Josh Allen, what was he, 7th overall in that 18 draft? These guys get drafted early. That's how you find your franchise guy. 412-928-9370. Bill is in Pittsburgh. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Donnie. I was just going to say, as far as Mike Tomlin goes, he got a 3-year deal, and I think it's like worth $50 million. So the Rooney's ain't going to let him go for that. They're not going to pay him, not their coach. So I think you should move on from talking about that because that's never going to happen. As far as the draft goes, I would consider taking George Pickens and moving up in the drafts is maybe moving up to number 12 in the draft just to get rid of him because you can't depend on him long term. He's a real talent, but he's just real unstable right now. And as far as the games go, what impressed me the most was the L.A. Rams and their defense. I don't know who their defensive coordinator is. I don't know how they seem like they got so much talent. And you are correct about the Steelers' offense. We're not going to go anywhere until they get more offensive-minded. They're still living in the 80s where they think they're just going to pound it out and just drive. And let Wilson go, sign Fields, and try to pick up another quarterback. That's what I would do.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate the call. The Rams' D coordinator, by the way, is Chris Shula. You may recognize that last name. Yeah, he's the grandson of Don Shula, the legendary Dolphins coach. The Rams have gone through so many young, up-and-coming coaches on that Sean McVay staff. And you bring up the point there, yeah, they're not going to pay Tomlin to sit at home. And I just got done saying he will be the coach until he does not want to be their coach anymore. They won't even pay assistant coaches a few million bucks to sit at home. guys that should no longer have positions. Do you realize how pathetic that sounds for an NFL franchise? They won't pay an assistant coach $1 or $2 million because he has 1 year left on his deal. They'll say, yeah, we'll keep him around. He's doing a horrible job, but I don't want to pay the guy to sit on his couch. Give me a break. 412-928-9370. John is next. What's up, John?
Hey, Donnie. Thanks for taking the call.
Yep.
And like you said, I don't want to use this time to bash Tomlin, but the issue here is that it's perfect timing, really, with Pirates Fest just happening as well. The Steelers, it's a top-down issue that the Steelers have, and they're turning into the Pittsburgh Pirates baseball. They're accepting mediocrity, and they're not making any changes to try and dig themselves out of this pit that they've been in for the last 10 years or so. And the issue that we run into is that I think it comes down from Rooney at the top, who's not even willing to entertain the idea of trading Tomlin. When's the last time that a head coach has ever been traded to another team? What does that market even look like? What type of return could the Steelers get? And at the end of the day, it comes down to the fact that Art Rooney is starting to lose control of this team, and I think it's about time that he steps down and drops the reins for somebody else.
Yeah, John, I wish that was coming anytime soon, but I don't expect it to be. He needs some sort of reality check, though. He is just willing away a lot of what his father built to be the class of the NFL, the model franchise of the NFL, all because they have a fetish over head coaching stability. The man is afraid to make a change. He's afraid to rock the boat. And we have seen things go downhill overall ever since. 412-928-9370. Want to keep taking your calls on this. We will get into a little hockey discussion coming up as well. Another notable football topic coming up near the top of the hour. You can also hit us up on Twitter. That is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We'll get back to your calls in a moment. Wanted to get a little hockey talk going. Donnie Football with you until 6. Charlie Borges is with me behind the glass. Charlie, our resident diehard hockey fan. He appointed me to a pretty interesting report that got put out there about the Pittsburgh Penguins earlier, Charlie. You could tell the people what you saw, enlighten them on the info that is out there, what could be happening for the Penguins here in the near future.
Yes, thank you, Donnie. Marco D'Amico, who works for RG Media. I don't know what that is, but he did work for or has appeared on TSN, which is the sports network, basically Canada's ESPN. He reported about a couple hours ago, a source close to the Penguins has informed us that Kyle Dubas is looking for a fire sale. Big name veterans, not simply just the pending free agents, are up on the trade block, and the Penguins are also willing to retain to move out Erik Karlsson. If you read the article, he says that pretty much anybody is fair game besides Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Brian Rust, Philip Tomasino, and Owen Pickering. Now, two of these things is not like the others, but it's pretty interesting that Philip Tomasino, who the Penguins just got, is in this apparent untouchable list. I get Owen Pickering. You have a guy on the back end who's young and has shown flashes of being pretty good. And you don't want to move on from him being so young.
Interesting name you didn't mention, though. Chris Letang.
Yep. That's a pretty big one. And the fact that they may want to move out Erik Karlsson too. So you may have two aging right-handed shot defensemen who have underachieved. And you're going to go to zero, apparently.
I would be pretty surprised if any of those big three got moved. So I would almost throw Letang into that mix. Sid would have to sign off on that, I think, with that player.
So my question then becomes...
It just seems like that core is just too close at this point. It's like they're going to just ride it out.
I get what Crosby's done and Malkin and Letang have done for the city of Pittsburgh, bringing championships and pretty much saving hockey in this town. Where does the line get drawn of, yeah, like we have to run this past Sid?
That's a good question because we've had this conversation so many times. But he clearly has a lot of input with some things that happen.
Like Brian Russ, he could get you a pretty penny on the market. The fact that he's on the,
I'm surprised
on the untouchable list, we know how much Crosby loves Brian Rust. Is that one of those, hey, I know that you guys can get a lot for him, but he's my buddy, let's keep him. I'm not trying to bash Sidney Crosby. I'm trying to try to paint a picture of there has to be a certain point where, yeah, you're a legend in this town, we understand, but we have to look at what's going to happen after you're gone, because that is going to happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, they have to try and have more of a mind for the future, which is why you get into a dicey situation when you call upon a star player who, listen, I've said it before, they owe pretty much everything to Sidney Crosby. But this regime also has to realize, hey, maybe what our best player has on his mind, that may not be the best thing for this team going forward. So yeah, just keeping his buddies around may not work.
It worked out when he brought in Jack Johnson. That was his buddy. Like, there just has to be a line of you're the player, I'm the general manager, and Dubas has not done a great job since he's gotten here.
You could say that again.
He has not done a great job since he's gotten here. With that said, how much is that of him getting the job, thinking I'm going to be able to do X, Y, and Z, thinking that he's going to be able to do that, trying to make those moves, and then Fenway Sports Group says, we understand that what you're trying to do. Let's see what Sid has to say.
Funny how it always, it's at this point in this city sports scene, it just always goes back to the ownership, and now we all just wonder what the hell is going on in all three front offices.
That was the problem with Dubas in Toronto. He always had to answer to somebody. It was always Brendan Shanahan. It was always the person above him that he wanted to do all of these moves, but he couldn't because the person ahead of him or somebody blocked it. And now it seems to be the same thing here. And there's no way that Dubas is going to get fired anytime soon. I think he's getting paid $7 million for the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. The Fenway Sports Group isn't going to fire him and pay him to stay home. So Dubas is here for a little bit longer. I wonder how much longer he's going to be patient with ownership saying, let's run it by Sid first. Once again, I'm not trying to bash Sidney Crosby in any way, shape, or form. He's no spring chicken. He's what, 36, 37?
Yes, he's late 30s.
Maybe has two good years left. What happens after that?
See, I don't know when it comes to that conversation, questioning how many good years he has left. He seems like the type of guy that could have still four or five good years left. The thing is, not every player is going to age as gracefully as Sid.
Letang sure hasn't. Malkin really is slowly on the decline.
They have next to nothing when it comes to like young game changing players.
You can blame Hextall for that one.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, what they were able to accomplish in the late 2010s made it worth it at the time, but I mean, they really haven't had stars come up with the exception of guys like Rust and Gensel.
Which could also explain the, hey, don't touch, oh, we're not going to, don't even ask about Owen Pickering.
Yeah, I mean, you want to keep promising young guys while you have them, or else you're going to keep going through this same cycle. Not to mention, this isn't a team that like just won the Stanley Cup. They have not made the playoffs in the last two seasons, and it looks like it'll be a third. Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome, Donnie.
For a little hockey talk. 412-928-9370. Get back to the Mike Tomlin discussion here. Chris is in Houston, Texas. What's up, Chris?
Donnie, how you doing, buddy?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, you had mentioned earlier that Rooney needs a wake-up call, and I agree. And to me, there is only one way that we can get him to change. I don't think he cares what the fans think. I think it's pretty obvious from all the people talking about it that they want to change and want Tomlin gone. So I just need a little runway to lay this out.
Good.
Do you remember Dan Schneider with the Washington Redskins, how people would complain about the name? What caused him to finally change the name? Do you remember?
I don't think I do. Like, what finally did it in?
Yeah. It wasn't the fans calling about it. It was the sponsors. The sponsors went to him and said, you got to change this name. That is the only way that you're going to get the owner to do something that he does not want to do. People have talked about boycotting the Steelers to get Rooney to change things, but if you think about it, that's going to take too long, and people don't have the intestinal fortitude to do that. But what if all the fans in Pittsburgh started boycotting the sponsors, the regional sponsors of the Steelers, for that, you know, just to bring attention and say, look, we've had enough of this, we're done with Tomlin, and until you guys talk to Rooney, because they have his ear, until you guys start doing this, we're not going to buy your products anymore. It's a lot easier to go buy a product from one store versus another as opposed to just missing the game altogether.
Yeah, Chris, I get what you're saying there. A little bit of outside-the-box thinking, which I give you credit for.
Poor Permane brothers. They don't deserve that.
Yeah, but and while I was actually thinking, I know it's not the stadium name anymore, but they are still a major partner. Telling Pittsburghers to not use Heinz ketchup? That ain't happening.
I will... Over my dead body will I use Hunt's.
It ain't happening. Just not. 412-928-9370. Brian is next. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Yep, what's on your mind?
So, I mean, I don't think the Steelers are as far off as everybody, the doom and gloom that everybody's been portraying. I'm not a huge Tomlin fan, but I've accepted the fact that, you know, basically we're going to keep him for, like you said, as long as he wants to be here. But I've always been a very big Justin Fields fan, and I think people forget he was drafted 11th overall.
Mm-hmm.
He played for probably the worst organization, if not one of the worst organizations, for the first 3 years. And the Chicago fans seem to really like him. And I just think we have a head coach and an offensive coordinator that have a run-first mentality. He's probably one of the more athletic quarterbacks in football. And I just think if we really stuck with him this year and built the offense around him, I think our offensive line underperformed this year, and hopefully Omar could fix that this year and improve that with whatever he can do. But I do think that we have potential that I'm not saying he'll ever be a Lamar Jackson quarterback, but I mean, he could be, you know, a very versatile, successful quarterback in the right system. I think the fact that Tomlin is going to be here, I do think what they can do is sort of like what they did on offense last year, is force him to get a real defensive coordinator and take away the responsibilities that he has on defense. You know, I just think that our defensive strategy right now, we have the players to be great, but our strategy is just hope that TJ or Alex Highsmith get to the quarterback. We never blitz anymore. We don't do anything, any fancy schemes to try to rattle the quarterback or confuse the offense. So,
Brian, I appreciate the call. Checking in from New Jersey, right around Charlie's hometown, I believe, where you were chiming in from. Yeah, the defense has to get more creative, that's for sure. I'm glad you brought up the Justin Fields thing because I want to get into that coming up next. Pretty big report from one of the folks at ESPN, what they are projecting Russell Wilson to get, and if the Steelers should make that move. We will get into that coming up next. Next hour, Noah Hiles from the Post-Gazette. Josh Yorish, who covers college sports, football and basketball mostly, he will join us as we get closer to 5 p.m. The national championship is tonight. A couple of pretty big college brands playing in that game as well. So we have a lot to get into. But coming up, another report about a Steelers quarterback. We know all of you out there love it. And you can chime in at 412-928-9370. That's next, but first, a message from Malzi.
Hey, it's Chris Muller, and I want to tell you all about Choice Cabinet. Maybe you're a contractor and you do a lot of kitchen remodeling jobs as part of your business. Or maybe you're somebody who is looking to get your kitchen remodeled and you're trying to pick out the cabinets that you want. Maybe you're a DIY type and you're actually going to do the whole thing yourself, and maybe you've done this before, actually. You probably know in all three of those cases, regardless of who you are or what you do, that cabinets are a big holdup right now. In fact, the average wait time for cabinets right this second is 8 to 12 weeks. Let Choice Cabinet fix that for you. Choice Cabinet has over 65,000 cabinets in stock. They are family owned. And these cabinets, by the way, they're Amish designed, all wood, super high quality with 10 different paints and stains. And this is the best part. Delivery is available in as little as 3 days. If you need cabinets, the choice is clear. ChoiceCabinet.com.